Today I'd like to talk about the act of giving. And since we are here keeping the Feast of Trumpets, and we are commanded to give an offering, I thought that we could take a look at the very act of giving and see why it's important for us to give. I'd like us to come away with an understanding today that the way in which we give, here and other times, is extremely vital to our salvation. If you will, turn to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. And Paul here says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And he goes on. But we'll stop here. So Paul tells us that at the end times, there would be perilous times because people would be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. And is this not a description of the world that we live in now? You notice how people are constantly and consistently seeking what is best for themselves, how they can obtain more things, even if it leads to more debt. You know, this world is focused on getting rather than giving. You turn over to James 4. James 4 and verse 1. And we will read to verse 7. He says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You war and fight. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, 'The spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously'? But he gives us more grace. Therefore he says, 'God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble.' Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, this is a very common scripture to us. But James here admonishes us to draw near to God. But why? You know, he asks us where wars and fights come from. You know, it can be just family members, it can be friends, it can be the world. And they come from people wanting that which they do not have. And so we can see here that it is Satan who inspires us to want to get from others. But James tells us that we are to have a single heart, completely focused on what God wants from us. And only then will we not have to worry. So we see that we are not to lust after the things of this world because they are not useful to our end purpose. Instead, we need to be focusing on developing godly characteristics, as Mr. Hank Rice prayed for in the opening prayer. And these characteristics will help us enter into the kingdom of God. And whether we realize it or not, one of the most important godly characteristics that we need to acquire is the act of giving. We read in Acts 17 and verse 25 that it is God's nature to give to all men. And this act of giving is vital because it shows love. And when we give in the right way, we develop a certain type of attitude, an attitude that we must have to enter into the kingdom. So how does this work? We know that God is love. And love is the outward manifestation of the benefit and welfare and the happiness of others. God is also a giver. You know, he gave his only begotten Son. Christ also loved us, and he gave his life for us. And so why did the Father and Christ do this for us? Because they loved us. If you turn to Matthew 5 and verse 43. We'll read to verse 48. Matthew 5 and verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren, only what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So because God is a loving God, and we are trying to become like God, then we must develop an attitude of loving, sharing, and giving. And we must acquire this trait from God, because God will not share his kingdom with those who are not willing to share. You know, this type of love we must come to have must become a perfect type of love. So we can see the equation between loving and giving. You know, the very act of giving in and all by itself doesn't tell us much about others. You know, Satan was willing to give, but he really wants our destruction. If you turn to Matthew 4 and verse 8, just over a page. Matthew 4 and verse 8. It says, again, the devil took him, that him being Jesus, up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. You see, Satan here was trying to show that he could give Christ the world. But he wasn't copying God's attitude of giving. Rather, he wanted the destruction of Christ and all men. So, we must have this development of character. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, Paul speaks here of giving. He also uses the word charity. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 3, he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You know, if it's not God's love that motivates us to give, then our gifts are useless. Even if we did the outward acts of sharing and helping others, but our motives are anything but love for others, then it will profit us nothing. And why is this? Because we are not developing the character of God. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. It's a scripture we often read when time for offering comes up. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God loves a cheerful giver because he himself is a cheerful giver. So what is our motivation, you know, when we give, whether it's be today or at other times when we give of our time to other people? If you turn to Matthew 25, verse 32. Matthew 25 and verse 32, Christ here is speaking a parable. He says, all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say to him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger or take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of these of my brethren, you did it to me. So this group, they did what they did out of habit. They didn't even realize what they were doing. God's nature of giving had become a part of their lives. And it was God's love in them that was motivating to do these good deeds. What are we willing to give, brethren? Do we truly want eternal life? For the last scripture, if you'll turn to 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, stirring up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You know, God has called us today to share our things with everyone. Are we willing to share what we have with others? You know, if we are not willing to share the small things now, how will we be able to share the rulership of all creation?